talking about the family that prays together, grows together, reigns together. And, you know, sometimes growing up can be, or just becoming more spiritually mature. It's a process. It's a tough process that we all go through, but we're all going to have to go through it. I don't know about you, if you're one of those people that like to weave in and out of traffic and stuff, I mean, just flowing with everybody, five lanes. I'm not that type of guy. Where's the carpool lane at? That's where I want to roll. Why? Because I can mash it as much as I can according to the speed limit. But there's people that like to weave in and out and stuff like that. That's like, that's good because they're kind of, it's uncomfortable for those who want to be in the carpool lane, but it's comfortable for them. And sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zones in order to grow. You know, in order for us, all of us to grow, it's going to require dirt. It's going to require watering, and it's going to be required, taking care of that seed that was sown so that it becomes more mature, and you're going to have to pluck some things off. When we talked about Jesus as a vine and God is the one who prunes us and everything, but, you know, it could be a challenging time in our lives physically, mentally, and even spiritually. From figuring out what you want and who you want to let into your life or who you need to get out of your life. I mean, all of those are things that we go through. You know, I was an eighth grader going into ninth grade. And I was thinking I was okay. I was pretty good at hoops. And my older brother put me through this process of growth. And him and three of his other friends decided to take me to a basketball court, like a 9-foot rim, and just beat the living snot out of me. What I mean by that, they just took turns just dunking on me left and right, and I had to stay there. I couldn't leave. They beat me up if I left. But you want to play varsity? All right. This is what they do. And it was a process, man. It was to the point to where I wanted to quit. They wouldn't let me quit. But it was a process I had to go through. Well, I didn't really have to go through. I think they was just having fun. But the truth of it is, it toughened me up even more. I got to the place to where I wasn't taking anybody's mess out there on the court and stuff. And it's things that we do in life, and sometimes we may not like what other people are doing, the storms that we're in, but it's maturing us, it's growing us to what God wants us to be, because there's another level that he wants us to reach. In Psalms 42, 1-2, it says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." A person who is godly is becoming more spiritually mature, longs to walk with God every single day. This is what they want to do. We know Jesus spent time with the Father every day. What makes us think that we don't need him? If he needed him, we need him every single day. It doesn't matter. You choose your time. But we all need him in order to grow. Lord, I want to hang out with you more so than with my friends. When we get to that place, yeah, I don't really want to go. I understand we need to be around people, but I'm going to just spend some time here. I'm going to just stay home. I'm going to just spend some time with the Lord. Just a few more hours. And Psalms 119 says this, "How I delight in your commands," this is David talking, "and how I love them." A spiritually mature believer loves the word of God and loves to study his word. Nobody has to tell them, hey, go do a Bible study with somebody else. They're already doing it. You didn't have to sign up for their church group or what have you and start doing a Bible study. Yeah, I want to do this Bible study. I want to lead it. Just go and lead it. If it's on your heart to do it, go ahead and do it. You're not going to get gold stars there. You just go ahead and do it. That's the pure thing. A person who delights in the commands of God, they love justice. But justice done his way, the right way. You can delight in the commands of the Lord and still miss it. You know, and David did this. He delighted himself in the Lord, and yet he still missed it. David was a very immoral person compared to Saul. Saul didn't do what David did. He wasn't immoral. He was just disobedient. But when it came down to it, when God took his anointing away, Saul didn't want the kingdom to be ripped away from him. David didn't want God to take his Holy Spirit away. You can have the rest. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. See, that was a person after God's own heart. There's a difference between, hey, Lord, I don't want you to leave my, I miss it. I repent. But what he knew he wanted was a contrite spirit. He wanted someone to really turn from him, turn from that and change. This is what David did. Saul didn't do that. Hey, don't take all the earthly perks away from me. Don't take my business away from me. Don't take my car away from me. Don't take these things away from me, my following away from me. No, David said, don't take your Holy Spirit. He slept with somebody else's wife, got her pregnant, and then tried to cover it up by bringing Uriah in from battle and wanted him to go in and sleep with her. Hey, go ahead and go be with your wife. How's the battle going? Oh, it's going good. Go ahead and sleep with your wife. Uriah decided not to. He refused to. Matter of fact, he slept at the palace entrance with the king's guard. What he did was a noble thing by not going in and sleeping with his wife, but David had him stay another night, invited him to dinner. Maybe you got some Chick-fil-A. No. He invited him to dinner, got him drunk, and was hoping that he would go ahead and do the deed. But again, Uriah, I'm not going to do that while my man's out there fighting. He slept at the palace entrance with the king's guard again. So David ended up changing up his plans. You know, and the thing is that Uriah was loyal to him the whole time. The whole time, Uriah was loyal to David. Even gave him a note to send to Joab. And that note basically had David's death warrant on it. Now, I don't know about you. I would have read that note. But see, that's how loyal he was. Hands him a note telling him, put him where the most heated part of the battle is going, the most fiercest part. Knowing good and well that he was going to be killed, David was trying to cover it up. See, somebody say, that's the kind of servant I want to be. Absolutely. Uriah was loyal. But even in that moment, I know we talk about David, I said, that's not the kind of leader I want to be. In that glimpse right there, David had done some great things. He was a great king because Jesus came in that line. We all may have glimpses of David or Saul or any other ruler that may have gone before us, but Jesus is the prime example because he was flawless. All of that stuff starts inwardly on the inside of us, not outwardly. It starts inwardly. See, Uriah got killed. And know what happened with David's son. That was taken from him. He was taken from him. But here's the thing. See, the enemy may have wanted to kill you, but he might not have killed you. He may have talked about you. May have assassinated your character. May have destroyed your reputation and what have you. Say, but you've got the greater one living on the inside of you. That's nothing. Paul calls that a light affliction. All the stuff he went through, he called it a light affliction. The enemy wants to kill your character, talk about you, because you didn't want to go hang out with the fellas and drink all night. So they made fun of you. They talked about you, badmouthed you, called you a mama's boy. That's okay. You made the right decision. Some of the young folks, man, she wanted me to come over and Netflix and chill. But I chose. But I chose to go home to a cold bed. But also with a clear conscience. Sometimes those decisions aren't the most popular decisions, but they're decisions that honor God. You know, you may want to go to this big old summer party where everyone was going to be there, but you chose to hang out with your family instead. Some of those godly decisions, he honors that. You might get clowned. Even in today's time, people put you on social media. That's okay. In Matthew 5:11 says this. God blesses you. Well, you're weird. You go to all those groups and all those little, social clubs and stuff. You don't want to go and party? Then they're dragging your name all through school, calling you antisocial. But he says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Sometimes the right decision, the best decision, is not always the popular decision. They lie about you. They persecute you. You know, I believe we get persecuted in this country. But again, there's laws that kind of stopped the full-on persecute, the onslaught. You know, who got arrested when Stephen got stoned? No one. But I believe the spirit of hatred is there. Even more now than it was back then. I mean, we're the leading nation in human trafficking. We're leading in that. How? How did it get that way? As the word says, they will invent new ways of doing evil. People work around it. See, we see the word in the word, this dialogue is taking place about being persecuted. But if you're one of those in those times, you would think that the religious leaders were right in what they were doing. See, it's not always the loudest one in the bunch or the biggest crowd or the biggest following that is right. And look at all the accusations or the false accusations that came against Jesus. How many could say, I would be part of that crowd that was actually calling for Barabbas? Give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Everyone. And just a day or two before, they were laying palm branches down. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then they're yelling for Barabbas. Matthew 5:11, God blesses you. Focus on that. That's a kingdom reward that is in heaven. God blesses you. If there's anything more comforting than that, he blesses you. You are storing up a reward in heaven. Every time you bless those that curse you, pray for those that lie about you. I will tell you firsthand, that is difficult to do at times. Other times it's easy, then other times it's like, man, Lord, I'm just not feeling that right now. Well, God doesn't go off of our feelings. He does not go off of our feelings and emotions, even though he gave them to us. That's not what he's basing it off of. He's basing it off of his word. Growth is knowing Jesus already dealt with your giants so that you wouldn't have to. You're going to have giants in your life. There's going to be obstacles there. You know, David, when he killed Goliath, Goliath was a champion. He was a warrior. But he grew up into that. So at one point in time, he was a giant in somebody else's life that they didn't kill. And then every battle he won, he became bigger and stronger and more fierce to the point to where the Israelites didn't even want to come out. David had to, little old shepherd boy. Generation after generation, Goliath would defeat people. But David did it. Killed not only Goliath, but went after his brothers as well. You know why? So Solomon wouldn't have to. He was thinking about his sons. Fathers, there may be some giants in our lives in a sense of what we deal with personally. And if you don't deal with them the way that Jesus has told us to, because in Galatians 3:13 it says, he became a curse for us. That's where we start. Well, I'm going to pass this generational curse on. Jesus became the curse, but Christ has rescued us. Other translations will say redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Verse 14. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise, Holy Spirit through faith. You can live free of any curse that may or may not have been passed down to you, or maybe you started your own. You can live free of any curse. Well, this sickness runs in my family. Well, my mom may have died at 65, or my dad may have died at 50, but it doesn't have to go with you, because you know Galatians 3:13, Jesus bore this. He became a curse for me. I don't have to live with this. I don't have to put up with this in my life. It's not something you have to do physically. It's something you don't have to do from confessing it and believing what Jesus has already done. How do you overcome those giants? Accept what Jesus has done for you. Believe what Jesus has done for you. Now, it doesn't mean that giant may not try to appear. It's just a shadow. You're not afraid of a shadow, are you? Sometimes shadows can be like, you could be like a little puppet right here, but if you cast that up on that wall, it'll cover up the whole wall, depending on the angle and stuff. That's all it is. It's just a shadow. That giant doesn't have to be anything big. I don't know why anybody would want to put themselves as a giant. You realize giants lose? The bigger they are, who would want to be a giant? Jesus took our place. Our punishment was put on him. Jesus killed every giant that there is. Sickness, disease, fear, Satan, they are all defeated. See, real faith is trusting the character of God, not your character, when outward circumstances in your life seem to be impossible. God doesn't have to move. Faith doesn't get God to move. Faith just basically takes what Jesus has already done for us. When circumstances come your way, there might be fear standing between you and your purpose. You need to know Jesus already defeated that fear over 2,000 years ago. So when you respond, it's more so, oh, it's you. You again? It's not that big a deal. Fear? No, it's not that big a deal. I think sometimes we're afraid because we don't want to change. We become fearful of that. We don't want to change. I'm comfortable not talking up in front of everybody. I was given the honor and privilege of doing the Martin Luther King speech, Black History Month in elementary. I did not show up. I was so scared of just getting up in front of everybody and talking. I literally, the cafeteria windows are dark, and I was trying to look through the windows, and the speech was going on. Somebody else had to do it. I think a teacher did it for me, because that's how scared I was. Getting up in front of everyone and talking. I wish I can go back and replay that one, but I can't. The family that prays together, grows together, and will reign together. There has been attacks on families since the beginning of time. Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Satan hasn't stopped his attacks on family. But you can be the household of faith that when he tries to show up, Satan and his demons, Satan be like, hey, don't go to their house. Don't mess with them. No, you don't want to mess with them. I'm telling you, don't go there. Why? They're too expensive to deal with. You're going to take an L on that one. Don't go there. You can go over here, but don't go there. Satan ain't even going to want to mess with you, because every time he deals with you, he's end up giving a piece of what he has to you. You end up walking away with something that he treasured. Doing everything they can is try to keep you from that job, but yet you not only have that job, you are the senior position. Don't mess with that family. Don't mess with Devlin. She's too cold, man. She's too strong. Why? Because her parents too strong. They ain't going to want to attack you. Why? They know how to count it all joy when they're facing trials. They know how to rejoice. They know how to praise. They know how to give God the glory when things are going bad. That confuses us. We don't want to mess with them. They know how to pray. They know how to get results. They know how to use their authority. We don't want to mess with them. But how many of you know that sometimes that's not always the case with people? Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you begin to question God. Sometimes you begin to question your call, your purpose. Sometimes you begin to question whether or not this stuff actually works. I'm here to let you know. It does. It does. But you got to give it time. You got to give it time. That's where that growth comes in. The seed, the time, and the harvest. You got to give it time. I don't know about you. If I do 10 push-ups, I'm expecting to have a six-pack. Chest bulging out. I was like, you know, how come this isn't working? I did 10 setups, 10 push-ups. I'm good to go, man. I feel stronger. Even though I'm struggling on that 10th. We kind of mess with the notion of you know, when indicting and stuff, there's a video that I seen, and there's this person taking out all their food, just all their hamburgers and fries, and they got a big old shake and stuff like that, and then they're looking, oh no, they forgot my salad. No, they didn't really order a salad. So how come I don't lose weight after every time I eat a salad? I just don't get that. I should be 180 right now. Spiritual growth always starts inside of you. And while it's taking place on the inside of you, give it time in you and in others. Give it time. We don't want to speed up that process. Too often we want to rush through that growth process for many reasons. And if the enemy can't stop you from getting what God wants for you, he can sure get behind you and push you to speed it up. Doing something you never should have been doing in the first place, or going somewhere. We're getting ready to take this trip. Man, it's going to be to the Bahamas and stuff. And I just believe that the Lord is having us to go. All right. And the Holy Spirit says, why are you praying? Spirit of the Lord says, don't go. Okay, you heard that loud and clear. And later on that week, you get an email telling you, flights out to the Bahamas under $200 each, round trip. This got to be God right here. Lord, are you talking to me? Holy Spirit says, don't go. Then you get another email, or you might get a text. 50% off your hotel in the Bahamas the same week you were planning on going there. This has got to be the Lord telling me to go. And he's saying, don't go. Then you run into somebody who's going to go to the Bahamas and now they're giving you some tickets for free food. Now you got cheap tickets, hotels 50% off. You got free food the whole time you're going to be there. This has got to be the Lord. And he's still saying, don't go. See, the enemy can throw all those little amenities at you, and we just be like, man, this has got to be God. The reason why he was telling you to go, because he knows there's going to be a hurricane coming. And many people miss the voice of God by all of the earthly things. It's going to be a hurricane. But Lord, Jesus rebuked the storm. There's going to be a hurricane. Don't go. I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to help you out. And he's saying, don't go. You don't need to go. You can go next year. You can go next season. But I want you to stay here. Even though it hurts, he's telling you, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Now, if that's you, I'm not trying to talk on anybody's trip or anything like that. That was just an example. God's timing and everything will be perfect, and you won't have to have. But when you know when it's God's timing, everything will be perfect, right? And you won't have any problems for as long as you live, because you are doing what God has called you to do. Is that accurate? No. That's not accurate at all. Just because you are doing the will of God doesn't mean that problems aren't going to come. But when there are problems that come your way, you can trust in the character of God, in his word, and believe that he has already seen this a long time ago. You just need the wisdom to overcome it. One of the reasons why you should want to grow or become more mature is so that you can set an example for your children and others. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. See, if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren and all those around you, You do it through godliness, contentment, and joy. How they're seeing you deal with your problems in life right now will help them. You can share that with them. You can help walk them through it if they need it. Your examples on how you trusted in God, not just in the good, but also in the darkest hours of your life, will help them grow into being a strong young man or woman. We got to get back to relying on God rather than just our ability to be able to finesse things ourselves. So you got to understand, God doesn't have any stepchildren. If you want real intimacy with God, you have to pay the price. It takes discipline to spend that time with him. And see, the thing is that stepchildren just want to get close to other people who has already paid those prices. Sometimes we just want to cabbage onto somebody else's faith. We have to develop our own faith. We got to develop our own walk. We have to develop our own time, that discipline. Yeah, I can tell you how to do it, but I can't do it for you. You can send me some scriptures, and I can send you some scripture, what have you, I said, but I can't confess them for you. I can't believe for you. I can believe with you. I can get in agreement with you, but I can't do that. I love my kids when they were playing sports and stuff, but I had a fire that because I didn't want to work when I was younger. Did not want to work. I'll go to school. I'll play ball, what have you. I didn't want to work, but I still went to work. JUCO, I was going full-time. I was doing full-time school, full-time hoops. And then I was working part-time, so I was still working. But I can't put the fire in them. You can yell at them all you want till your face turns blue. But you can't put that fire in them. They got to want to do it themselves. Trust in the Lord. Lord, I trust you. This is what your word says. We got to walk in love. Okay. I trust you, even though that's going to be hard, it's going to take everything in me or all of what you have, we got to do it. Lord, if there's someone that you want me to just encourage today, show me. We got to do it. Lord, if I just need to keep my mouth shut for a season, tell me. But we have to be able to trust in the character of God. You know what? Because in his existence, he's never failed anyone. Ever. He's never, ever failed anyone. And that's something to trust right there. His character. His nature. Because he's a good God. The family that prays together will grow together and will reign together. So start your prayer time. There's people who pray and walk and talk and communicate. There's nothing wrong with that. Grab your children. Pray with them. You got grandchildren, grab them. Pray with them. I was praying for Roman last night. He stayed at our house, and he did not want to go to sleep. And Kristen had him about 98% of the time, and I took him for the 2%, so I get all the credit because I put him to bed. No, actually, Tasai put him to bed. He fell asleep with me. Tasai came and put him in the playpen. But I was praying with him, praying for his little sister that was born Friday. Saturday morning, see, I'm already messed that up. Take those opportunities to pray and teach them those commands to live by them. They're not going to do it perfectly, but teach them. Raise them up in the way they should go. And when they grow older, they will not what? They won't depart from it. Continue to sow that word into them. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And we thank you for growth and maturity. We thank you for the obstacles that are coming, Lord, because we know you've given us everything that we need in order to overcome those things. So we thank you for fear being out of our lives and that we can operate in the faith in you, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Are you all ready to receive the offering? Probably. Kristen told me you probably should receive it before you preach because they may not give afterwards. Ushers, come on up. Do you have that the text thing on there? Can you put the text offering? There you go. If you need the text to give, there it is, 833-535-1344. Let's hold your envelopes up so I can see who's all giving. That's why. Father God, we thank you for this offering that we're about to receive, Lord. We thank you for all the hearts that are sowing today, Father God. If there's any that don't have anything to give, Father, we believe that you will get that seed to them supernaturally, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for the increase in our lives to continue to bless and be a generous giver. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Also, thank you from, Westview Church did Meals on Wheels last week, and Vicki wanted me to give this to you. So thank you to those who delivered Meals on Wheels this past week. Those who receive the meals are very appreciative of those who bring them a meal and provide a friendly face during their day. Your willingness to serve our community is greatly appreciated. Special thanks from me, this is just from me, to Richard Wright. He went out 4 days of those 5 days that we've done it. So I appreciate all the stories, Richard, that you talked during the time and everything else. And he's just got a heart to help out. So I appreciate that. And then Backpack for Kids, thank you to all who donated to the Backpack for Kids box this month. Your donations will aid First Call for Help in preparing the packs for parents and school children in our county. So we appreciate you all donating to help out. Let's stand. Let's conclude our day, or this service at least. We're going to get to the place where we're having 2-3 services a day. Amen. Or just this bigger facility. Here's what we do. Y'all ready to grow? Let's get out of our comfort zone. Find somebody and pray with them before you leave. Find somebody you don't know and just begin to pray by the Spirit and go and pray for them before you leave.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.